Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
We'll talk about the subject matter tonight, ever increasing, never ebbing. I've been really pondering the words of the Lord that he's been giving to me about faith to faith and strength to strength and victory to victory. You know, the Lord himself is really on the church's case. He's really trying to build up his church. We must acknowledge that we're in the last of the last days, and God wants his glorious church to shine. Amen? He doesn't want us to turn back. He doesn't want us to retreat. I want to encourage us all tonight, myself included, to prepare your heart to receive right now, in this place, what the Lord would have to say to us. Listen to the very voice of the Spirit of God as I share his word tonight. Allow him to minister to you in power tonight. Amen? So let's begin with a couple of scriptures. The first one comes out of Romans chapter 1. Book of Romans. Hallelujah. How many know that the Word of God comes with power? It comes with might. It comes to destroy barriers, break down walls. Amen? I'm really praying and believing tonight we'll get hold of that. So Romans chapter 1, I'm reading verses 16 and 17. Paul writes to the church in Rome and he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Amen? Are you ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You understand it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes it? You believe that with all your heart. But God wants no one on planet Earth to miss out on an opportunity to believe, to receive him as Lord and Savior. Amen? Power that comes through the Word of God, the gospel, the good news. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 3 and verse 18. "But we all," how many? We all, as the Americans would say it. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Have you ever wondered what God sees when he sees you? This scripture, friends, sums it up. He says, "But we all," that's you and I as believers, "with unveiled face," nothing standing between us and the mirror, "beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." Where is the glory? On us. The very glory, as we shared this morning, the glory of God imparted to us through Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One and his anointing, right, are being transformed, it's an ongoing adjective there, into what? The same image as the Lord himself, from glory to glory. How many see that as an increase? It's not a decrease. Scripture we read out of Romans chapter 1 talked about faith to faith. How many know that's increase, not decrease? Glory to glory, victory to victory, strength to strength. Amen? God is moving, and he's moving in power And when God moves in power, there is no ebb and flow. It's always forward with God. No receding, no low tide, no drawing back, no retreat, no surrender. Now we have to examine our part in participating in what God's calling us to increase with no ebbing. Amen? We said last week about God wants our yes. He wants us to, yes, Lord. He wants us to flow with Him in what He's got planned. God's grace, God's glory, God's fame, God's resourcefulness, God's creativity, God's faith in us, without repentance, without hesitation, and without looking backwards. Amen? And friends, we can't work for it, but we must contend for it. Amen? But the devil's still out there to rob, to kill, and destroy. He's still active in this world. The Bible refers to him as the prince of this world, the prince of the domain of planet Earth. He's still working. He hasn't given up on Christians. How many know that? He's out to get you. The Bible says he goes around like what? Like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. Oh, he wants to devour you. I thought he just wanted to be like a little kitty cat that we could all pat and say, there, little devil, you know you're defeated. But we know the word encourages us that the devil is still active. He's still the prince of the dominion of this world. He still goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He still goes around to rob, to kill, to destroy. And he's not worried about the sinners. Their future is sealed. Their judgment is coming. But most of all, he's after believers to try and pull their faith backwards, to reduce the power of God operating in their lives. And friends, you and I are not exempt from that. Even though we have on the full armor of God, the shield of faith, the sword which is God's word, friends, we need to be equipped every day by faith, to faith, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from victory to victory. Amen? God's grace, God's supply, God's glory, God's faith toward us is sure. We need to hold on to it. We have to contend by making sure we don't block, we don't resist, we don't fall short, we don't hold back on this grace that He's made available to us. And to do this, we have to examine, friends, a place that we must absolutely stay in and refuse to move out of, but instead of just staying there, we have to continually move forward. Amen? Hebrews chapter 12, if you've got your Bibles there, follow me if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. The Word of God is such an encouragement to us. God wants to grow us. God wants to extend us. Amen? And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, the Word encourages us. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. What a strong word of the Lord. Starts off beautifully, doesn't it? Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Colon. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Good warning. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. cult. And by this, the Bible says many become defiled. So instead of increase, instead of moving forward, instead of continuing going upward, the Bible says unless you guard what you've got, there is opportunity for you as a believer to fall short of the grace of God. Amen? You and I have discovered in our walk with the Lord that grace, the favor, the supply, and the power of God is unearned, but it's not automatic. How many know that? It's an outworking process within our lives. The Bible says in this passage here in Hebrews, we must receive the grace of God and not fall short. Question: how do we fall short? Good question. The answer is this: by removing the character and the nature of God from how we live. How do we fall short of the grace of God? By removing the character and the nature of God Himself from how we live. All the manifestations of His Spirit, all the heavenly truths, all the supernatural increase, faith and glory, victory and strength will only function through the dynamic of who God is. I'm sure if I was to ask you all to paint a picture of God tonight, your pictures would be all different. How do you picture God? Is he old and grey with long hair and long beard? Does he wear a white robe or a brown robe? Does he stand with a staff in his hand? Has he got love in his eyes, or he's just got that stern, judgmental look in his eyes? He hasn't, as you know. Everything, friends, everything in the kingdom of God works and is empowered by the very essence of God Himself. God, as you know, is love. And you've probably heard plenty of messages on love, and I'm not going to preach specifically about that. Don't tune out when I start talking about love. Listen, receive, and understand, and begin to live what I want to share with you. Love, friends, is a never-fail ingredient. Love, let me repeat it, is a never-fail ingredient. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. As in the New King James Version, love never fails. Love never fails. What love are we talking about? God's love. The agape love. Love of God never fails. Never falls short, never gives up. Amen? But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. What a phenomenal statement to meditate on. The Lord, I believe, is bringing us to a place of wholeness, where which what is part is in part will be done away. What is the context here? Love. Love and its absolute connection to every manifestation of the Spirit of God. Let me make some statements about love. Love is perfect because God is love. Love never fails because God is love. Love is the force Himself empowering every manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God is love. Let me give some examples of how to ebb, how to slow down, how to withdraw, how to retreat, Let's come to Luke chapter 22 tonight. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32. I don't want to ever see Christians ebb, but I know that even in my early walk with the Lord, I had days, I'll be honest, I had weeks, I had months, where my faith in God was not where it should have been. I just was not really connected. I was not really switched on to God and His Word. You know, I'm probably the only one in the room like that, but I'm being honest. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. Jesus talking to Peter, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would not fail, and then he added the extra comment, "and when you have returned to me." Well, in other words, Jesus was saying, "Peter, I know your faith is going to fail. I don't want it to fail. I don't want you to fail. So when you return to me, encourage and strengthen your brethren." If Jesus prayed these words over Peter, and it's recorded by Dr. Luke, then surely it is possible that Peter's faith would fail. Amen? So how does faith fail? Galatians 5 and verse 6 says this, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. For in Christ," in Jesus Christ, "neither circumcision avails for anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." Similarly, in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2, it says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love," what's after that? "I am nothing." Without love, Paul writes to the church and says, "I have nothing." 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the very center principle of all the chapters, of chapters 12 through to 14 of 1 Corinthians. All the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, he says, work by love. In a similar way that an engine works by petrol, your faith works by love. That's what the Bible says. If an engine doesn't have petrol, or diesel if you're a diesel lover, it will not work. You can put oil in it, you can put honey in it, you can put molasses in it, you can put anything you like in it, but if it doesn't have the necessary fuel, it will not work. Amen? So if your faith does not have love in it, similarly, it will fail. Let's have a quick look at what Jesus taught us about operation of faith in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 11, you would know this scripture inside out, backwards, Hebrew and in Greek, I'm sure. Mark 11, picking up in verse 20. It says, "Now in the morning," verses 23 to 26, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, Four words. Have faith in God. Four simple words. Have faith in God. Next verse says, "For assuredly I say to you," Jesus talking, not me, "whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Starts off with those four words. Have faith in God. The rest will not happen unless you have the four first words in your heart operating. Amen? It doesn't finish there. Verse 25 begins with the word "and." Amen? "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Verse 26, we quite often leave these last two verses out. "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Jesus here is teaching on operating in the God kind of faith. Supernatural faith. The disciples had just witnessed the outcome of Jesus cursing that fig tree the previous day. The fruit of his words were a tree that would no longer live. Amen? You know the story. And his wording here, talking about supernatural faith, did not end with the line, "and you will have them." Because the next verse, the very next word of the next verse says, "and." And when I did English lessons, you don't begin a new topic with the word "and." So this word "and" links into what Jesus has just talked to the disciples about. It's not a new topic. It is a continuation of that same thought, that same lesson he's teaching them. So verses 25 and 26 here are crucial. He's just connecting in this statement, connecting what he has just taught about prayer. And he says, "And whenever you stand praying," whenever, means exactly that, whenever. Don't think you're holier than thou and carry unforgiveness and expect God to move, is what he's saying. It's not about the time you pray, it's about your heart attitude when you pray. And whenever you stand praying, or lay praying, or sit praying, or kneel praying, or drive praying, or whatever you do in praying, "if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." It's not saying that God does not want to forgive you. It's not saying that he's holding back forgiveness. But God cannot be a party to unforgiveness. He can't be a part of unforgiveness. He can't say, "Look, I know you're in sin, Lou, so I'm going to look past your sin because I love you, but you're holding something against that person down the road, and you're asking me to turn a blind eye to that and bless you in that." God cannot be a party to unforgiveness. God cannot sin. Why? Because he's love. Let's have a look at these words here in this passage. "That your Father in heaven may." May, M-A-Y. The truth is that if we refuse to forgive others, God's forgiveness will not work in our lives. We literally are rejecting it, and we literally are blocking it. Jesus here is teaching us, friends, if we don't live a life continually walking in love, and in this passage, by releasing others from what they have done or said against us, or perhaps what we perceive they have done or said against us, then the love of God towards us is blocked. It's blocked by us, not by God. And it's blocked, and our faith won't work. Am I right? That's right. Very true. Thank you. Jesus, when the disciples asked him, Lord Jesus, when we pray, how should we pray? Matthew 6 and verse 12, one of the words Jesus used, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Luke 11 verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I know, of course, that your forgiveness was obtained through the blood of Jesus. Not by your own merit, not by our own works. His grace has saved you through faith in Him. Amen? It was God's love that empowered this saving grace that you received for your salvation. We understand that. It was God's love that empowered this saving grace that you received for salvation. Grace of God, that unmerited favor, to just loosely translate it. God's love empowered that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. That's got to be empowered by God's love. Amen? God so loved the world. What did He do? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, that grace towards us was empowered by God's love for us. Even though we didn't deserve it, even though we weren't worthy, even though you and I were lined up for judgment, He said, no, my love will empower the grace towards you to bring you to salvation. That forgiveness of God has never been dwindled down, it's never been pulled back, it's never had a limit on it. And friends, you will never lose your salvation by stepping out of love. Know that? You may lose that passion, that intense love for God for a season, but you'll never lose your salvation because of that. But however, your daily application of the force of faith is affected in the absence of love. Hallelujah, brother. I'm a faith man. That doesn't mean I have to love everyone. No, I'm sorry, you're wrong. If you're a faith man, if you're a faith woman, that faith is empowered by God Himself, who places love inside of you towards Him and towards your neighbor as you love yourself. Amen? If you literally push back on His forgiveness, His love, when you refuse to love and forgive others, is affected by that. Push back His forgiveness. Say, Lord, I'm doing okay. Lord, it's only a little sin. Lord, go and choose somebody else. Pick on somebody, God, that's a real sinner, not me. God doesn't want any of us to fall short of His glory. In the absence of love, friends, you and I will begin to believe something other than God's word. And that's where I believe the devil finds a chink or a spot in your armor where he can get through. And he wants you to believe lies. He's the father of lies and can't stop lying, the Bible says. unbelief comes in, where absence of love exists. Unbelief is rooted in fear. How many of you know that fear is the opposite of faith? It's the reverse of faith, isn't it? It operates on the same spiritual laws as faith. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Or Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So then the opposite is, fear is the substance of things dreaded. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Fear is the substance of things dreaded. How do you get rid of fear? 1 John, perfect love casts out all fear. Where does that find in the Bible? 1 John 4 and verse 18 says there is no fear in love. How much fear? No fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. The scripture goes on and says that because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now there's a challenge for all of us. When fear tries to creep in, and I think all of us know that fear tries to creep in, insecurity, doubt, unbelief, uncertainty. You know, it might be insecurity in your health, or it might be insecurity in your finances. It might be a nasty word that someone's spoken to you, or you think you've heard a nasty word. That creates fear in you. Amen, am I right? But he who fears, the Bible says, has not been made perfect in love. Mark chapter 11, Jesus teaches how we need to have faith in God. Have faith in God. We should have and operate in the working of that faith. Amen? The Bible says, speak to the mountain. Declare it to be cast into the sea. Amen? Here's one more reminder before I finish off this message. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Talking to husbands. That would be me. About the operation of the force of love in our prayer life. Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. Smile from all the husbands in the house. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Bible verse, it's not mine. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, are we listening tonight? Dwell with them with understanding. Give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The Bible already says earlier in the scriptures, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. So the bottom line in this scripture, friends, is if you don't treat your wife right by walking in love, your prayers will not be answered. Looking at all the husbands in the house, I believe in my heart that a move of God has already begun on earth, where his power is once again being seen and manifest in ways that great revivals of the past have been seen. I really believe we're on the cusp of something great in our time. But at this time also, there is a way where there will be increase and there will be a challenge not to ebb. His presence, as we sung earlier, his presence. Think of that Israel Horton song, his presence is heaven to me. The worship that we give to God, his presence, as we worship, I believe we're getting to that stage where his presence will be overwhelming. and it'll be full of answers, full of healings, full of deliverance, full of manifestations, full of breakthroughs. However, when we are in this powerful place, let's also remember the same instruction to Jesus that he gave to his disciples in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. It says this: therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go on your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Well, you might say tonight, Pastor, I have nothing against my brother or sister. It's their problem with me. Exactly. Will you walk in love enough to go and make it easy for them to forgive you? Will you make it so it gets right with you, so their faith will work and your faith will work? Friends, let's not forget, when we worship, we're standing before Almighty God. When we praise Him, we are seeing an open heaven above this place. I don't know whether you realize that or not. Worship takes us into the Holy of Holies. How can you go into the Holy of Holies unclean? The world knows Jesus. The little things that get through. The Word knows us long before we know the Word. But if God is love, God's love was shown toward us in grace and in mercy while we're still sinners. Surely we should be in that place where we can allow the greatness of God to even in a more greater way flow into us and see us grow from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from victory to victory, and strength to strength. We don't have to smile at each other a lot to express our love one for another. The love for one another dwells deep in our heart long before it finds its way to our face. But the nature of God is and should always be among us, with a power that is flowing through us to the world. Jesus is the Word become flesh. And now in Him, we are His Word in the flesh, empowered by God's Holy Spirit to bring hope to a dying, hurting world. Friends, I finish with three words: no turning back. Increase. Never ebbing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.